We're on page 82. Chazaraha Yitziraha Atzmit. The return of the Atzmit, the independent creation. Okay, Acharei. So we're in the middle of talking about the whole process of renewal, the process of, on the one hand, purification and then renewal. And all the people are questioning about Tzvi Yehuda. They're worried because what happens if you mess up again? That's basically what they're worried about. Meaning, Rav Kook says, the people sinned. They got kicked out into Eretz Yisrael, out of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael became sort of purified, you know, reconstituted. And then they came back. So they're like, well, what happens if we mess up again? And so Rav Yehuda is very insistent that the sins that caused the galus are not the sins that go on, at least in his time. And as we're going to see, so he's pretty reassuring. He tries to be. After this whole process of Havra'ah means return to health. Chazara l'makom habriyut, return to the place of health. Chazara l'machab habriyut, return to the situation of healing. Derech hitpatchut, hishtalshalut, by way of development, and hishtalshalut means a process of time. Chazara milah rishona shel ha'mamar. So we go back to the first word of the article, of the piece. Yitzira. Yitzira means creation or creativity. Yitzira be'eretz Yisrael. Okay, creativity or creation in Eretz Yisrael. V'yitzirat ha'chayim ha'yisraelim ha'miyuchadim. Okay, the creation of is Israelite life, miyuchad, specifically Israelite. V'chol me'oram v'chitivotam miyuchada. In all of their light, I mean, in all of the way they shine, and in it's there in the specific achativa is its portion, its specific portion that's designated or specific to the Jewish condition, as it were, the Israelite condition. So it says in the Gemara, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Asituni Chativa Achat Ba'Olam. God said, you made me one chativa, one unit in the world. Vani Yasevchem Chativa Achat Ba'Olam. I'll make you one place in the world. Chativa miyuchedet, a special chativa, a special designation. Chativa muvana gibush. The word chativa is an explanation. Gibush is conquering. Shneimut mitziyut, it's experience. And a complete mitziyut is, no, I'm really must be tired. A completion in mitziyut is presence. Does that mean anything to you? Mm-hmm. Not really? Okay. Shleimut mitziyut. Mitziyut is a reality, or a completion of reality. That's what he's saying. He's saying that when God designates, when there's Jewish life, it's Jewish life in all its aspects, in all its particulars. V'yitzirat ha'chayim ha'miyuchadim v'chol me'oram v'chativatam ha'miyuchada revaya betal ha'oser ha'klali. And this specific creation of life and all their light and their specific designation, the vaya betal ha'osher akali, it is flowing or nurtured with the dew of general well-being. So when Jewish people return to the land of Israel in some way, Rav Kook says, you know, it's pretty esoteric, he says, but there's going to be this creation of Jewish life in a sense of fullness, in the greater sense of fullness in Jewish life. Outside the diaspora, the Jewish life, and there's much to be said for that. I think that there's a huge difference if in Oak Park. So our Jewish life consists of the life that we have only in the context of ritual and religion. So your kids go to school, they go to parochial school, and you go to shul and you interact and you eat kosher food. But you know, when you go fill a prescription, right? That's not an aspect of Jewish life. And when you go, like, you know, pay a parking ticket, that's not an aspect of Jewish life. Right? Because there's nothing very inherently Jewish about it. That's your interaction with the outside world. Whereas, I don't know if our cook is referring to this, but that's what it means to me. Whereas in the Jewish world, in a sense, you know, when you go to the post office and you're buying a stamp, that's a Jewish interaction. Because you bought a Jewish stamp of a Jewish country in a Jewish nation. And you go to the pharmacy and you fill a prescription, that's an act. That's a particularly Jewish act. I don't know, anybody watch the news conference with Ehud Olmert and George Bush yesterday?
No, but I've been listening how we're giving back everything.
Yeah, don't worry. So, Without getting into Israel, Palestinian politics, because that's not the place here. So Olmert is speaking in the news conferences, in generally in English, but also in Hebrew. So Olmert goes, he says to the Israelis, he's in Israel, and he says, it says to the president, he says, I would like to say something in Hebrew, you know, and have it be translated. So he says, "B'derech klal amim mitzat shvachos shel adam lefanav." Right? So in general, you don't give somebody full praise in front of them. You only give them partial praise in front of them.
Gives everything.
No. So he says, as Omer says about Bush, he says, you know, generally, he's in Hebrew, you only give partial praise, not full praise. As ani rotzeh lidaber al nasi Bush, be'ivrit shehu lo yavin oti. And I speak in Hebrew about Bush, they won't understand me. So then he goes the following. He says, Baruch Hashem, sheyesh lanu chaver tov, kamo anasi George Bush. He's not speaking Baruch Hashem. Yes, Ehud Olmert says something. Baruch Hashem, sheyesh lanu. You know what I'm saying? They're like Ehud Olmert, like Mr. Secular man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sheyesh lanu.
Right, you know, and he's, you know, Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem, because... Bush or what?
No, so Bush is listening. In his ear.
He's
being
said, Baruch
Hashem. We have such a good friend, you know, George Bush,
that
he's such a strong supporter.
Language.
Right, that's what got me. And like on CNN, you didn't catch it because they are giving the translation. They're over. So I'm listening, trying carefully to listen to what Omer is saying in Hebrew. And you know what I'm saying? And they translated this, thank God. But thank God isn't the same as Baruch Hashem. You know, like, you know.
They translated as.
Thank God.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem means blessed be God. That
thank
was
God.
The first part of what he
said. Yeah, they translated it. Yeah.
We don't want him to understand.
Yeah, he knew it. It was like he was saying it sort of tongue in cheek. You know what I'm saying?
But, I thought he was going to say, the fun of, but in his case, we can say everything.
See, he was like falling all over George Bush. He really was. I mean, you know, Bush has been a relatively strong friend of Israel, I would say. A pretty good friend of Israel, you know. It's all whatever. Let them do what they need to do, which is a big deal. But just the idea that the Prime Minister of Israel, you know, he's in a news conference, standing as the President of the United States, and he's using, like, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's like,
and then
how about he should be religious? He's not religious, but he's using language from, you know, even the idea of saying, mitzvah shvachos shel adam lefanav, that's a quote from the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so where did he get that from?
Right.
Because that's in the vernacular of Israel. So, you have to really look at these things and see them for what they are. You know, so is that Jewish life? How could that not be Jewish life? That's part of who we are. Our identity is as Jewish people. It's part of our culture. So that I think that's what he was saying, that it's this chayim miyuchadim, a specific Jewish life that's everything about life has an aspect of it that's relating to Judaism, even the mundane aspects of life. Whereas our lives here, you went to go to the gas station. You know, you went to go to the gas station. There's no Jewish interaction necessarily.
There was one famous thing in World War II. They talked about, I forgot by who, one of them used to give back the change from the guy in the post office whenever he overcharged, because the guy couldn't count.
Yeah.
There's a famous story of that.
Some rabbi.
And later on, this guy actually saved Jews. Why? He says, you were the only people that ever gave me back the change. The other people, the goyim, you wouldn't call them goyim,
right. They
kept it for themselves, but you were honest. That's Jewish life too, no matter where you are.
True. That's meaning, that's an ad, right. That's a kiddush Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's right. Not, but it's saying, forget the kiddush Hashem, the nice guy and the whatever. Right. The Jewish life meaning, you know, in every aspect.
The way we go about
it. Yeah, everyday life. That's full Jewish life. Okay. Yesh ma'amar Chazal v'gemar al seder ha-galut. There's a statement in Chazal ha-galut. Lo ha-gal ha-kadosh baruch like Yisrael lebein ha-umot elash chidesh yitosh lo-lehem gerim. The only reason God exiled the Jews is to add gerim, to add converts. Doch ha-galut mitusafim mitstafim gerim. Right? In the exile, you add in gerim. Yesh v'gishayim neshamot shel gerim. Right? There's a meaning. There's an interaction with non-Jews. In Gerei Tzedek, you know, Shut HaKlalit, with righteous Gentiles, with general humanity. So it is blessed with the Tau, the Jew, of general well-being, of the great men, the giants, Berchat Avraham, the blessing of Avraham. So it says, Abraham aya ger rishon. Abraham was the first convert. Tchilat Gerim, first ger. Abraham was shalano. He was our beginning. So Am Yisrael, the beginning of Am Yisrael. Who Yisrael the Umi, the cosmopolity. Right? He is the foundation of nationalism and cosmopolitanism. And think about Abraham, he was a man about. Okay? Av Amon Goyim. He was the father of many nations. Hu Shayach Lanu. Hu Yesod Shalanu. He's ours. Shall call Yisrael the Jews. And Mitoch Zeh Nimshach Erkenu Ki Umam Yuchedet V'Umit Kosmopolitit. Right, because of that, so we have to be a cosmopolitan nation. You can't just be, again, this is part of his vision, you can't just be, you know, stuck on and say, we're just going to focus on religion, we're just going to focus on ritual. No, part of the Jewish destiny is to fulfill itself in terms of its nationalism, in terms of being a nation of accomplishments, a nation of greatness. Okay? Pam, Ne'ezo Mamar Katapti B'Bitui. Once I wrote the following, Halumiyut Shalanu Hilumit Kosmopolitit. Right, our nationalism is that Lumiyut cosmopolitan nationalism. Nachara Muzar, Kshira. What am I talking about? How can I say such a thing? Lumiyut cosmopolitiyut. Like, what is that? That's cosmopolitan nationalism. He says, what do you know? Not Avraham Ongoy, meaning. But what does it mean to be? What do you think it means when he says it's a cosmopolitan nation?
Cosmopolitan. We interact with everybody.
Well, you know, what is that? You know, anybody have the word cosmopolitan? Other than the magazine, cosmopolitan is like diverse,
a mixture of different. Cosmopolitans.
Right, a mixture of
different.
Are you looking it up?
The cosmopolitan ice cream.
Okay, fine. Right, I think that's his point, that we are right. You bring in so many different values.
Well, we don't,
on the places.
Values, not people.
What?
We don't look for gay room per se.
No, but we have them.
We do.
Yeah.
And we try to discourage them unless they're truly sincere about it. We're not trying to, shall we say, stack the deck with a lot of people.
No, we don't. But we don't discourage them. Mm-hmm. Here's the trick about welcoming outsiders. Okay, and this is something that I've realized in my experience in the show. Anytime you admit someone into membership of your shul, not only do they become a member of your shul and gain from your shul, they contribute to it too. Willingly or unwillingly. Wittingly or unwittingly. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they become, so if there are 200 families or 210 families in the shul, they become one of the 210 families. They now have they're now part of that shul. So therefore, they have an influence.
Cosmopolitan.
Yes.
One, pertinent or common to the whole world,
mm-hmm.
in an issue of cosmopolitan import.
Mm-hmm.
Two, having constituent elements from all over the world or from many different parts of the world,
right.
such as the ancient and cosmopolitan societies of Syria and Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cut it up. Okay, so he says, what does it mean to be having a cosmopolitan nationalism? Right, on the one hand.
And the third one is his.
What?
So sophisticated as to be at home in all parts of the world and conversant with many spheres of interest.
So he says, conversant, that's a good one, conversant in many spheres of interest.
Right.
Meaning a person, you think about the Jew, do you think about him as being a cosmopolitan?
No, we consider him as being usually very focused within society.
Right.
His society.
Within his society, his issues. Says, Rav Kua, Rav Yehuda, no way. You got it all wrong. Mashi Muzar, if you think that's strange, second line, Hu Rak Lovin Shitchi, that's only on the surface. Adam Katan Zustira. Yes, to a small-minded person, it's a contradiction to be Jewish and cosmopolitan. Shira ben hapratiyut v'akvaliyut. A contradiction between the specificity, right? What does it mean to be Jewish? And broadness and generality. Lokin agave Adam Gadol. But to a big person, meaning not a small-minded, a big-minded person,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not true. He doesn't find it to be a contradiction. Ki Adam Gadol hu klali.
Right,
a person who's big has is more general interest. The same is true of a big nation. Who's a great nation that is so close to God? So a great nation is not a contradiction. Right, our nationality is worldly. It has value to the whole world. Right, to the treasure of the nationalism, of Jewish nationalism, is varied to the whole world. You have to understand to what degree this is a fundamentally earth-shattering, you know, distinction. Because remember, we always think of Judaism as a ritual, as a way of life, as a, you know what I'm saying, as
this
a way
is
of...
an inherent quality within the people, which means...
Within the nation.
Which means to say that when a person deviates from the norm,
Now all of a sudden you have Jewish bankers and Jewish Hollywood and Jewish senators and Jewish professors and Jewish lawyers. And
wait,
because they're able to go any place. I'm thinking they're using that same kayak in a different way.
No, he's not saying it that way, because I don't think he thinks that an American senator who happens to be Jewish is expressing Jewish nationalism.
No, he's expressing a kayak that he could have.
He's saying that in Israel, when you have a Jewish nation, so then you need to have the professors and the artists and the politicians and all of those things, and it becomes an aspect of Jewish nationalism that has value to the world. You understand what I'm saying? It's part of the Jewish nation.
It's an internal cosmopolitan understanding that?
No, you're interested. What does the world have to offer to me, and what do we have to offer the world? I mean, if you would ask most of the Rosh Hashivas in the world, mm-hmm. right, you'd ask them, what's the ideal vision of Yiddishkeit?
Sitting and learning.
Who?
Everybody that can.
Everyone sitting and learning. Right, so there's no sense of...
And then malach and nasa idea
chere. Whatever, right. That's their ideal, ideal existence. Oh, yeah, and everybody else works for them. Whoever doesn't feed them will work. Okay? And by the way, Rav Kook would not argue that that's an important aspect. He said, but Jewish nationalism doesn't express itself just in we're worried about ourselves, and we have to sit and learn, and we have to, and we have to focus only on the Jewish part. Then Jewish nationalism expresses itself in all different areas. We need Jewish economists, and we need Jewish scientists and professors and chemists and artists and writers and a Jewish press and all of those things that express themselves and interact with the world. That's all of those things create what's called the Jewish nation,
society.
But it's more than that. It's a Jewish nationalism that all of these things have a Jewish aspect to them, are influenced by the Torah, but also are informed by the Torah, and because of that, they take on that much more value.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And so then you become interested in other things. This was a guy in my school. So I got a yeshiva, and he was like in my house, and he's looking at my my books, and he said, as you get older, your library is going to change. I didn't know what he meant, because I really wasn't interested in other things. And now that I'm getting older, it is interesting that my interests have sort of broadened in a sense. That I'm interested in more history and learning more about people and certain
things. The word before general. I think it's more varied. It's not that it became general. It became varied.
But it's interesting to me because ingrained in every good yeshiva bachar is always a good healthy dose of guilt when you waste time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Any amount of time we waste
is lost forever.
Is lost time, and there's great guilt about it, And so on the one hand you have these diverse interests. On the other hand,
if you put the time and effort into that, you're
wasting time that you're not using for other things.
Right.
So I wonder. I think our cook speaks to this, and I don't think he would think necessarily that it's a waste of time per se. To broaden oneself.
As long as it's productive.
Right, but it's not learning. It's not Torah learning. You understand what I'm saying? But it expresses itself. Who? Right. You understand what I'm saying?
He's not going anywhere.
What?
As long as, in other words, your intent of why you're doing the other things.
I'm not thinking about that deeply.
All right.
All I'm saying is that to achieve that, that Rav Kook clearly believed that Jewish nationalism had to be a sophisticated nationalism, not a simplistic one, the goal isn't to build another kollel and to build another kollel and to support ourselves and to worry about ourselves. That's a very exile mentality, that we have to be perpetuating ourselves. Right? At what point do you sort of transfer from the exile mentality, the survival mentality, to growth and development? You know what I'm saying? And growth and development when you're a survival mentality, so you can't worry about the extras. When you're in growth and development, then you do worry about the extras. You can start broadening yourself and worrying about the what we would call the luxuries. So when Judaism is being decimated in the exile, mm-hmm. so then anything else is a luxury because for every person learning, 10 of them are assimilating. But in a Jewish society, then you will have some people who should do X and do Y and do Z. And I think Rav Kook's vision was to sort of to see a transformation. Once the return happened, then the whole mentality of preservationism isn't necessary anymore.
But let me ask you a question. I was thinking, based on what We're talking about interacting with the world at large, but because we have a Jewish nationality and an identity. At the same time, if you look at, a guy is not allowed to own land in Israel,
yeah,
and you, by right, aren't allowed to be outside of Israel.
Right.
Doesn't that, in effect, preclude interaction?
No.
Unless he wants to come as a visit. But not that he's going to be there on a regular basis because he can't even have a house here. We're not allowed to really sell him land.
Definitely, Judaism always envisioned interaction between nations of the world.
True, but not on the scale of such a diverse, huge...
Right, this is one of those things. This is, again, this goes back to...
Wouldn't that...
One of these days, when I have time, which is going to be never, I am fascinated by this, other than the book about fatherhood that I have to write, right? I'm fascinated by the topic of... I've spoken about this with you guys specifically, about universalism versus specificity. Meaning, to what degree are Jews supposed to be universalistic, right?
Right.
And worry about everything, or worry about ourselves. And that happens on an individual personal level, it also happens on a national level. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Torah says, "Ein an levadad yishkon."
Right.
Right. So can you be a nation alone among the nations, but at the same time interact and maintain a level of what he would call cosmopolitanism?
You know how?
Can you?
You have a museum where everybody comes to see the jewel.
No, I don't think. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Then it's the within its own right, that jewel is doing fine, but it's not interacting with the people, but the people are coming to view it in order to enjoy it, whatever they're gaining.
Right. It's a very hard question because those are two diametrically opposite values, but we shouldn't be one or the other. You know what I'm saying?
How do you mesh?
Correct. And I think that is life. That is the struggle in life. Life is a question of trying to balance these two opposing values. On the one hand, of being a nation that's infused with Judaism. The problem with being a cosmopolitan nation is, like, look what happened. I think Shlomo Melech is a perfect example. What happened to Shlomo? We'll get to it in the Navi, right? You know, he's man of the world. Yeah, you don't know. He's a man of the world, right? He's got 1,000 wives, and one of them brings in idolatry.
Right.
You know? It's a big danger. And so the classical rabbinic leaders have always shunned at the outside influence because of its danger. Yeah. You know, Cook refused to do that ideologically. Even on practice, it's much harder. Much, much, much harder.
Though he did maintain his levush. It was, in other words, only
what
he
was.
Right,
he was. He didn't think, but he was a man of ideas. So he didn't think, you know, I didn't care what you dressed like. Mm-hmm. I really think he could care less. He had the ability to see much deeper than the color of your hair. Okay. Shailah. What is this do of general well-being? Basically, what in the world are you talking about? Because let me show you our answer. He says in Isaiah, "Ki tal olot talecha," right? Your dew is the dew of light. Talle olot, talle Torah, the dew of Torah. Talle bracha, the dew of blessing. Talle olot, the dew of light. The matzav shel atzirat kishamim, when there's no rain, adayin kayam hatal. Still do. The Gemara mafia bitui. So the Gemara has a statement, a phrase, a saying. Hatal bracha leolam, dew is blessing for the world. Sometimes blessing comes to the world, right, in shefa, in plenty, like the flow of the rain. Like it rains, it's coming down. But it doesn't stick out so much. So interesting. Dew is there. It brings a little bit of moisture to the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's ever present, and it's kind of like, you know, doesn't. But it's also under the radar screen, small, okay. And it doesn't. And also the blessing of it is it doesn't stop. Tal mashma o bracha. So when he talks about this dew of the general well-being, it's a blessing. Brachat shemayim, the blessing of heaven. Brachat osher haklali, right? The general well-being or wealth. Al hadam hagadol ba'anakim. The man, the great man among giants, Brachat Avraham, of Avraham. Brachat Avraham has specifio, the blessing of Avraham specifio, ha'atzmiyutam yuchada shalanu, right, our specific individuality of ours. Mofiyami agamet el mizim choli. So you remember already, he talked about a bunch of times, he talked about this idea that there's general blessing of humanity, and then there's Jewish sort of uniqueness, Jewish specificity. And what's true about Jewish uniqueness, what makes us special, everybody else has on a much lower level. And when the Jewish people don't do their job, then they're less recognizable. Right? The uniqueness of the Jews and the Jewish nation is less recognizable, and everybody's the same. But when the Jewish people do stand out and they do what they're supposed to do, then they're much more pronounced. The power of the Jewish people is much more pronounced. Okay. Mm-hmm. Abraham, there are two sides. Avraham Goyim, right? He's the father of nations. Ha'adam ha'gadol ba'anakim, and he's also the man among giants. Yisod klal Yisrael, Yisod am Yisrael. Okay, the foundation of Jewish people, the founder of the Jewish nation. Kol ha'gadut hazod, cholzeriti davka al yidei shiva zu. Right, it returns specifically through this return into the land. Shalshavu banim b'vulam, shagam zu tshuva. This is also repentance. Kshabanim chozim la'yis Yisrael. When we return to Israel, zu tshuva, that's repentance. Let's return to Baal Eretz Yisrael, Tshuva L'Torah Mitzvot, return to Torah Mitzvot, Tshuva L'Amunah, return to faith. Ki Eilu Gvanim Shonim Yitzot Tshuva, there are different aspects of Tshuva, meaning even if a person doesn't actively do repentance, but when he returns to Israel, why does the Jew return to Israel? I had this big debate with my partner in Torah. He's actually teaching Zionism. He's teaching Zionism to a class at the Jewish Academy. So he's got this secular Zionism book, and I said, I'm sorry, all Zionism is rooted in classical Judaism. I don't care what you say. Because if it doesn't, Zionism doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, why Zion? Who needs Zion?
You can't
despise it. Yeah, right. Why is this idea of a Jewish nationality, the Jewish home? Like, what is this whole thing? Either you believe in the Torah and there's a nation of Jews, or you don't. So says our quote. The fact that Zionism exists, even in secular whatever, that's because it represents a form of Tshuva. It's revealed, it returns specifically through this return to reveal itself. There's a saying in the rabbis. Behaye bracha, right? And you should be for a bracha. God says to Abraham, behaye bracha. Behaye bracha, becha chotmin. Right? That they conclude their bracha with you. That when they talk about Abraham, they becha chotmin. Chatimana bracha. Right, the seal, the end of the bracha, habracha tilat shmon esrei, ayvei mitzi utcha v'havayatcha, through your presence and your experience, b'hayei bracha. Right, so what does that mean? The first bracha of shmon esrei starts with Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We mentioned Avraham and Yaakov, but how does that bracha end? Baruch Atah Hashem. Again, Avraham. Why only Avraham? That what's special about Avraham is what's unique about the Jewish people. The first bracha of Shmona Esrei, al yedei mitziyutcha v'havayatcha, through your existence and your experience, v'hayei bracha, that's a blessing. Avraham Avinu, hu ish habracha, he's the man of blessing. Hatchuna ha-characteristik shalo, hi bracha. His aspect, his characteristic aspect is blessing. Yesh nishnam perkei avos. As the Mishnah begins, call me Shiesh Biyado Shlosh Dvarim Elu, Bitamido Shal Avraham Avinu. Right? Anyone who has one of these three attributes is a student of Avraham, which is, one of them is Ayin Tova. What's Ayin Tova?
Good eye.
A good eye. What is Ayin Tova? Ayin Tova, Ayin Yafa. Mabat Hakol, Al Hakol. It's a perspective, the Ayin Optimistit, with an optimistic eye. Mabat Benachat Ruach Al Holam, a positive attitude, right? Of serenity about the world. Avraham Basem, Avraham believed in God. That good eye is on all of creation. To quote, paraphrase Barack Obama, and whoever's listening to this in a year, you might not remember Barack Obama. So Barack Obama is running for president, and he keeps talking about hope. Right? And then Hillary Clinton goes, stop instilling false hopes. And Barack Obama says, there's no such thing as false hope in America. We were going to bring about positive change in this country. And nobody bothered to ask him what he's going to do, but it's okay. You just talk about change. Change, change, change. Hope. So that's a...
There is no hope. There's only...
Fear?
No. Right. Do or don't.
Okay.
But no hope.
Okay. The hefech, and the opposite, I'm 84 at the top, Baal Ayin Ra'ah, person with an evil eye, whom you tell me enough, shall Bilam Arasha, because all you see, you're sitting at Bilam. Because all Bilam saw was... A young person, this is bad, and that's bad. The Hayei Bracha, and should be a Bracha, Avraham Avinu Haya Ish Bracha, is a person of blessing. And it's really true. When Avraham accomplished in the world, it's so hard to do, but what Avraham accomplished in the world, I mean, the things that he was up against. You know what I'm saying? If God come to Avraham and said, Avraham, I want you to go and, you know, institute monotheism in a polytheistic, antagonistic society. no way, who could do that? You know, just by the test that God gives him, he's always got this all right, what's next? You know? And not dwelling on the past. And Bilam, on the other hand, is a man of curse. Rakshanasa bones. Okay, but there was a miracle by Yavoch Hashem Lekecha, that God transformed his curse into a blessing. Baal Korcho against his will. Baal Korcho Hubeirach. He blessed the Jewish people against his will. Nimrod Heyuto Betivo Ish Klala. Despite the fact that in his nature, he was a man of curses. Awal Abraham Avinu Betivo Ya Ish Bracha. Abraham in his nature was a man of blessing. Haye Bracha Bechachot Min. Bechachot Min Mata Bracha. So meaning, right, so what Rav Kook said, let's just quote Rav Kook again, because he says, okay, that this general well-being, okay, when this creation of specific life, Jewish life, will be blessed with the dew of well-being of Abraham Avinu. And he said, what's the blessing of Abraham Avinu that we'll be blessed with? What? The dew. No, he said, the tal ha'osher ha'klali, of the general broad well-being or fortune of Abraham Avinu, of Birchat Abraham, this blessing. What's the Birchat Abraham? He says that Abraham's attitude, his aspect, was one of positiveness, of creation.
I heard from Rav Yehuda a very nice thing. It says, "Uberech has Abraham Bakol." So Tesh has to go through a whole different things of what that means. Rav Yehuda mentioned to me. Mm-hmm. He says, "You know what Bakol means? We have a rule that nobody dies without only fulfilling half of their desires and wants. Nobody gets the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Chetzi, you know, Taivos of Yehuda." So he says, "Abraham was different. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was Uberechim Bakol. He felt complete. I have everything I need. I have everything I want.
Nice.
I'm not lacking."
That's nice.
Yeah, it fits into what he's saying here.
84. Sheila, Ma'akabana b'chachot means. What does it mean in the Gemara when it says that, you know, that Abraham will finish with you? Tshuva answer. Magen Abraham is Monesve. Chazim is Abracha. Abraham. The end of the Bracha. The first Monesve is, right, Abraham is the man of blessing. Sheila, Ma'amash mutakan. Fine, but what does that do with us? Right, what's he saying that? What's Rav Kook saying that this blessing of Abraham will be on all the Jewish people? It's well known that everything follows the conclusion, the seal. Achar siyum hadvarim, at the end. Habracha hakorana b'shmoneh yishim shalom. The last bracha shmoneh esrei is peace. Chutmin b'shalom shekolel et hakol. You finish with peace because peace includes everything. Ka'ach, similarly, hachatimah b'tchilat shmoneh esrei hi magen Abraham. Right, the ending of the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei is Magen Abraham. Hachotem et hashiyum, the shiur, the conclusion, habirur, the clarification, ha'achlata, the decision, hey mikocho shel Abraham Avinu. They come from the power of Abraham. It's more of an esoteric idea that the Jewish people will be blessed with this positiveness, this general well-being, the dew of Abraham that applies to everybody, but applies to the Jewish people more. The can-do-ness. Seilah, now we get into that. Okay. Makare im yesh chata'im chas ha-shalom v'achas ha-ba'im v'ant Yisrael. So somebody asked Rav Kook, well, what happens if we sin after we get back to Israel? Tshuva matai, achshav, now? Seilah, now, achshav. So clearly this is a recording, you know, there's a recording of it. And the reason he did it this way, right, this is a book that's edited by Rav Avinir. I think what he's trying to get at is quite clear, is Rav Kook is esoteric, it's hard. And so, Tzvi Yehuda is trying to orally explain.
Because people will question it
right.
This way.
Sure. And so the best way of clarifying the questions that we have are the questions that they have. Because remember, it's not concrete ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's very general. It's a broad idea. So he says, yeah, right now. What happens to the sin now? Tshuva, achshav yesh tibei chazal, galut shvisi ein. The rabbis have told us, verse number 73.
I'm sure, right?
Yeah. Ein yushalai mimeid adshid hagaluyot. And meaning once, twice, no more. But this is, and you can go, there's a long footnote here. 73 is a very long footnote. It's a well-known idea, by the way, a well-known idea that there is going to be three Beis Hamikdashes and no more.
And if it's not built, you hear what he says, "Im lo nivnes Yerushalayim al tamin l'ma shekesev b'nei Yerushalayim." In other words, don't say that it's come, the end of the Golos, if you don't see Yerushalayim built.
Is Yerushalayim built?
Not yet.
No, Beis Hamikdash
is in the process. No, even Yerushalayim, it's in the process here. They're arguing with the East and the West Yerushalayim.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever that means, East and West Jerusalem. I don't buy the whole thing.
I don't either, but that's what they're screaming.
Whatever. That's politics. I'm not talking about politics.
Right.
Okay. Good. Nigmar. Done. Ani yodeh sheyesh acherim ma'amim acheret, avos lo nachon. So listen, I know other people are telling you otherwise, like you just said, but you're wrong.
Sorry.
Okay. Eila lo dvarim mimkor ha-Torah. To say that we can lose Israel again is incorrect.
Oh, wow.
Sheila, efo mufi inyan zeh? Where is this? Tshuva, answer. Kam mokor, a number of places. Yesh ma'amar chazal, galut shlishit ein. Sorry. Sheila, ma'in parashat b'chukotai. Ha'im einar lezmaneinu? What do you think? Answer. Achshav nigmar. Nigmeret hagalut.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a strong statement.
Yeah. It's over. Exile is over. Now, it's not done.
But the Bible
says.
That's what the Bible says.
The Bible says the galus is over?
It's in the closing.
Some say it's over. We just need to see. Okay. I'll step on something.
Right, we don't know.
Because we don't see it, but it's
right. He says, but he's saying, you know, like they're worried. You see, like the students are worried. Well, what if we lose it again?
Yeah. So the carrot's been dangled in front of us so many times, only to be dashed in country.
Not really. No. Never back to Israel. Never back to Israel.
But our mentality is every place we've come to, we've always ended up having to leave.
Only in exile.
And so we're afraid. Is Israel Israel, or is Israel just another place along this path right now?
No, I'm not.
That's
what he's saying. I'm not afraid of it.
That's his question, and his answer is no, it's not.
Right.
This is the Israel that we were waiting for.
The Ma'i Masakatu B'Torah. So what do you mean? The Torah says you do sins, you're gone.
Right.
The Torah Kayam B'Govin Yisodiyat Mi. The Torah exists in and of itself. Aval Anyan Shem B'Parshat B'Chukotai Hit Kayam Sudar B'Nasa. It came true. You can't say it's not true. It was true. It's done. I mean,
all of the.
I'll go for that.
That could be worse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not. You can argue with that. You see that they're worried. You know, right. What if it happens again? No. Geula eina tuluya betshuva. So chozim betshuva achrei kol maaseh shel galut. Okay, mitbarer he shehi lo aita lechinam. When they do tshuva, I'm not even close to finishing. Right? No, there's no way. Okay, too much. Because this is his. Okay. What time is it?
It is 10:50.
This is the end of the piece. We'll start this piece and then we'll stop. Okay. And we'll finish it in 2 weeks, I guess. Because the chazim tshuva achrei kol maaseh shel galus, when mitbarer shehi lo haita lechinam, when people return after all this and we return to tshuva, we'll see that it's not for nothing. Kol ha-sheder, v'kol ha-tipul ha-luki lo haya lechinam. All of the God, you know, the divine intervention, this whole process. It wasn't for nothing. Elo l'toelet, for a purpose. L'kapara u'l'tihur, for atonement. You know, we think of exile as just wandering from one place to the next, and, you know, when it's over, but, it, you know, it's terrible, it's a punishment. He says, no, it's a purification process. L'kach mitzafim gam mikorot b'divei chazal u'b'hadrachot chazal. So to prove this, we're going to bring together some of the words of the rabbis and in their teachings. Sh'agula achshav eina mukhrach aliyot tuya b'tshuva. Says redemption now is not dependent on tshuva. What does Rav Teichel say about this?
It's coming.
But yeah, Rav Teichel said, listen, if you do tshuva,
but at this point, it's coming.
Well, he didn't say. He says, if you do tshuva, it'll be fast.
Right, and if not, it's coming. Right. So, there'll be pains of birth, but it comes.
Okay. Yesh sugya. I'm the second line. Yesh sugya shleima b'gemara. There's a whole section of the Gemara. Vikuach min Rav Lezer, Rav Yeshua. Okay. An argument between Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Lezer Rabbi Yeshua, kol hashas malei mehem. The shas is full of Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua. The halacha b'machlokes b'nayam halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, the rule generally is we follow in halacha, and an argument between them, we go to Rabbi Yeshua. Zeh haklal, that's the rule. Rabbi Lezer matchil v'omer. So this is the discussion. Lezer starts and says, im osim tshuva nigalim. You want redemption? Repent. Im ein osim tshuva? Ein nigalim. You don't want to? Don't do tshuva? No repentance. No repentance, no redemption. Rabbi Shua Cholik Gomer. Rabbi Shua says no. Lo, kishabaz man ha-geula. When the time comes, kishabaz gemar galut achona, ein zet alir b'tshuva. When the time comes, I don't need tshuva. Ha-vikloch in shach b'gmar sanhedrin v'arichut. The argument goes on and on and on. But we saw the vikuchim, maybe Rabbi Shua sa neshek ha-acharon. You know what neshek is?
Gun.
Ammunition. Rabbi Shua b'is final ammunition. Pasuk m'b'nandini yo. L'mo'ed mo'adim b'chetzi. Right? at the time of the times and a half. I mean, there's going to be a time. Haperushu sheyeg zman kavu akeis. There's a keis legalut nigmar hazman. The time is over. Mashiyya, the echshiyya, what hour will be, what will be, I don't know. Hakeits hechrechi. Hechrechi means it has to happen. The end. Zu halacha shemafia b'cholim karot ezel kol gudol Yisrael. That's a halacha that all of Yisrael agree. Magia hazman ha'acharon shel galut, shel afshav she'en etali b'tshuva. There comes a time, it's not even in tshuva. Yishnem karot rabim v'shali rot tumot l'kach. You want to look it up? Look it up. He says, I believe that. And by the way, this is generally accepted. Meaning, you know, everyone agrees that, you know, 6,000 years, never the time will be. Because the prophet says, at some point, you're going to be redeemed, true or not. Because otherwise?
There's no purpose.
Yeah, that's the point.
But what would be the purpose if we're redeemed without tshuva?
Why?
So why do we go through to begin with it? We weren't going to be doing it anyway. That's the flip side.
What do you mean?
If you're going to say, well, the purpose we're in Golos is so that we should come to the realization...
No, it's not. He doesn't say that.
I understand.
Yeah.
But if it's not, it's just because we're in Golos, they go, then why were we in Golos?
Right. And that's why he's saying it's a purification process.
For what? Purification
process. Fine, let's go on. Shabbos HaRabbi Yashar Shlita, Rabbi Yashar's grandfather, Hayatamid Chacham, Ve'imzeh Gaon B'Kabbalah, Chayadu Abarachim G'dorot HaRachonim, of Shlomo Al Yashuv. He was a gaon in Kabbalah and the Talmud Chacham. Who chiber et hasefer hakdamot Yisharim. He wrote a book called Hakdamot Yisharim. Hakolel hakdamot misfarav hakdolim. That included all of his introductions to great books. Lachem nikmer hakdamot Yisharim. That's what it's called, introductions. Hasfarim yalim shalom nikroim v'shem shvu v'achlama. I have no idea what that means. Anyone?
Shvu return.
Return v'achlama. Zanab echad mimena. Why? It's one aspect. Who could take? He says the following: Hine kol mashachaneni Kadosh Baruch Hu b'rov chazgo b'tivoyis barach shemo. Everything that God has granted me, ba'otzar gadol shematnat chidam, in this great and a great wealth and a great bank of a gift of, for nothing, and everything God gave me. Kihu hachonem adam dat, that God gives knowledge to man. B'chanan gamoti adam lehevel dama beriakala nimucha shvela shvelut anoshim. Gave me knowledge, me nothingness. And can you believe it? God made me something. Ha-programma. He says his introduction is the technique means the
itinerary.
Yeah, thank you. It's the final Messiah, and in the end of his introductions, he concludes. And from now, I'm going to tell you. Ki hagam se tchila l'Hashem yitbarach shemo shani ha-mechaber mikol ha-tfarim ha-tfarim in his kareem. It's a praise to God that I wrote all these books. In calls that he may yodia ani bachmi, I can tell you I know. Shein bi lo Torah v'lo yira. I have not Torah or fear God. Lo chachma v'lo tevuna. I don't have wisdom or knowledge. Lo dat v'lo etza. V'ani nizel chadal nashim. This is all the knowledge that I have. You know what I am in the end?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. That's what he writes. The angel arak michazdo v'tivosho gadol baruch hu. And the reason I know anything is because of God's greatness. She has spia derech bi that he poured in through me by yaday al yaday natan yakol lechavel chtovat kozot. Man, so you mean I'm nothing? God gave me all the power to write all this stuff. Ki al yaday hakol v'sakadosh baruch hu shpichuto ki ma'amam b'tzivishit rabas. He's giving his whole introduction to show you what a great, 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 great man this Rav Shlomo al Yashuv was. Okay, al yaday shliach lo chashuv shliach pachot. You know, he says, how did God get this information into the world? By a messenger. Who's the messenger? Me. What am I? Nothing. Right? I'm just the pen. Right? And the axe hewed out. Right? And I'm just what's left when God hewed it out. Same is true. Like when the guy writes with a pen, is the pen impressive?
Right.
No, it's the writer. It's God. It's amazing that God wrote these books through me. It's incredible. It's one of the amazing things of God. Nothing is wondrous from God. Right? And the same God that tells the oil to burn can tell the vinegar to burn.
Right.
So what am I? I'm vinegar, but I burned a little. Not that I know anything. חנני גם אתי בכל הנאון יוצא בראש המערך חינם כי לכתיב וחנשי אשר אחרון וחתי את אשר אחרון. He says, and God has given me this great gift and now I know some stuff. That was a pretty big introduction to basically say, I am nothing, everything I have from God. Okay, so that's by way of introduction. And he says the following. Yesh lo perek miyuchad, shal mimin batei b'miminim eilus. He has a chapter that says the following. V'achar kol ha'dvarim ha'elu, after all this stuff, this whole chapter, hine yuvan lanu od inyan echad ne'elam, ma shenitchabtu bazak kamo k'doshe ha'yom. There's one other thing I have to tell you about that the holy, exalted people discussed, or this line of the word in the Torah does it never mention Mashiach.
Right.
There's never anything in the Torah. By the way, this is one of the foundations of our religion. God in there, you know? Moshe in there.
We had an idea about this. Not at night. Right. On Monday night with Rabbi Tzal, he used this. He says, look, nowhere does it say it. Because we're not interested in that. We don't. That's not our focus point. That's what he's saying. So let's throw Shmuel irons. And that's for Shmuel.
About Mashiach?
No, about how it doesn't mention anything about, it's Mashiach, or it doesn't mention anything. He says, you see, there's no place in Tarsh, in the Chamesh from Shintara that it mentions it.
Yeah.
This is the problem. Why are you looking at the Chamesh from Shintara as if it's a finite thing? Guess what? We receive two things at Har Sinai.
Wait. 100%.
It's within
That's not a fair answer, because everything in Torah Shabbat Peh is alluded to in Torah Shabbat Chav, and as we say, that's called Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah.
Right.
Now, and those things are few and far between. And the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzvah are about what I would call minor aspects of Judaism. For example, what color does Chinuch have to be? What color is it?
Shechita.
But we know, but how do you know there is such a thing as Shechita?
We've learned that the Karbonis.
From the Torah, right. How do you know that you have to have tefillin? From the Torah. Right, so I don't have to be black.
How do we know the box?
Okay, and it's right, all the halakha mishum yisinai. But now you say, well, by the way, there's also this mitzvah that's a fundamental element of Judaism.
Of saying that there's going to be
this is one of the,
so they say the merum is, us yashir moshe, and they have
I understand,
all the other
but again, there's no overt reference to it.
Correct.
So let's see. I just want to finish this piece. Call Hashem for Kabbalah. The whole book is in Kabbalah. And then he says the following in very simple language: Amnam, yet Hatikva Atida, the future hope. The Chol Chamdat Yisrael, the whole desire of Israel. Shem Kol Yehudim Achronim. That's all of our destiny. Final destiny. Yivoyta Mashiach B'Chayim Haba of the days of Mashiach and the future, the world to come. Hineihem Tluyim BeEmet Rak BiBrit VeLo B'Zchut. They're dependent upon the covenant of God and not on our merit. Ein sarach bizchut.
But how much you get of it?
No, not our zchus. You don't need our zchus. You don't need it at all. There's a brit. There's a deal.
That almost smacks like the religion down the block.
Done deal. What do you mean?
No.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry. No. He did it all for you.
No. The Mashiach's going to come one way or the other. You want to appreciate it and come closer to the eventual.
That's what I mean.
But he's saying, regarding Mashiach, regarding Olam Haba.
A guy who's illiterate, you can give him the most beautiful, jeweled book.
No. Regarding Mashiach, regarding Olam Haba, it's a done deal. It's not, and that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, you're worried that what happens if we mess up. What happens if we mess up? What happens if we don't deserve it?
Right.
That's his answer?
You'll get it.
You don't have to do that. The process has begun. Once it's begun,
no,
it's not going to stop. And he's very, very emphatic about it.
Who is
very emphatic
about
it.
Every single Jew are the Jews that are found in that time.
That's exactly the point.
And if that's the case, there's going to be a weeding out.
Correct. Absolutely.
He's more stark in that. Because what he is saying,
he's not saying you don't have to keep the Torah.
But he says it's going to come no matter what. But guess who is it going to come to? Right. Is it going to come to the people that didn't?
Jews can choose to leave Eretz Yisrael.
They'll come to the entire world.
Jews can choose to abandon.
Right, but who's going
to
be in the entire world at the time?
Who's in the entire world? But also, who's going to be? Even if it comes to the entire world, it comes through the Jewish people. Remember, we're the nucleus. According to what he says, we're the satellite dish to beam through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can decide, choose to abandon it. That's why in this week's parsha, so you see, you hit Makas Choshech. So there's two reasons why there's Choshech. One is to punish the Egyptians. The Gemara says, Mr. Weed is a Choshech, means a weeding out process. Mm-hmm. The baptism was a process to weed out the Jews. And Rav Tachlis talked about that also. That there's no way around it, that weeding out process. And a very painful, unpleasant process. But nonetheless, he ends up by saying, it's going to happen. So relax. Already calm down. And one way or another, when God started the process, once it begins, you can't stop it. All right.